Welcome to Cyber Inspiration Podcast. My name is Evgeny. I have been around cybersecurity for the last 20 years, and I have a lot of experience working with a variety of cybersecurity vendors. My main work is vendor consulting and cybersecurity advisory for companies. As part of my passion in technology and cyber, I've been intrigued to learn how a company starts. I started the podcast to understand the thinking process and what motivated people to start their own company. This podcast is affiliated with Security Architecture Podcast.
I have Ross here to talk about his book. Ross, please tell us about yourself and do a one-minute pitch about the book.
Yeah, super, super happy to be here. Super excited about the conversation. I began my journey as a co-founder of a B2B educational technology startup, like back in the day before it was called EdTech. And later on, I ended up building a decade-long career in product management. So I've worked across different industries, e-commerce, retail, wholesale, financial technology, ending up in cybersecurity, fell in love with the industry, decided to go super deep and super wide, really be incredibly active in this space, add value as much as possible to the community, help founders, and really stay active. Aside from it, like obviously, my main area of focus is product management. I'm a head of product at Lima Charlie, a cybersecurity startup based out of California. Outside of it, doing a lot of angel investing, advisory work, writing, contributing to different media, TechCrunch, VentureBeat, and so on and so forth. So trying to stay active in the space and trying to contribute.
Great. Tell me about the book.
Yes, the book. So Cyber for Builders. The way I usually present it is by saying that most books are written for hackers. Most books are written for security practitioners and people like being hands-on doing the work, the security work, as well as general audience. This book is different in that it is written specifically for cybersecurity builders. What I define builders is startup founders, engineers trying to build some projects on the side, investors, marketing and sales teams, like startup employees. So people like product managers, VCs, and so on and so forth. So people who are focused on building the next generation cybersecurity companies. So the book provides a general overview of the cybersecurity industry from the entrepreneurial lenses. It dives into the topics such as the industry trends, different parties participating in the ecosystems. It covers things like investing. It covers things like fundraising, channel partners and the role they play in the ecosystem, the role of the government, the role of the insurance companies. So it brings a ton of different learnings that I've accumulated over the years about the business side of cybersecurity and building a company in security, including like how to actually do it, how to validate ideas, how to assemble the founding team, how to raise capital, how to build the first product, like what to consider, how to sell things, how to go to market, and so on and so forth.
Funny enough, as part of this podcast, this is some of the questions I ask the founders. How did you raise money? How do you go asking for money? How do you validate your idea? Are you actually hiring your first team? So it's quite interesting. So I know I sold quite many books already, at least while we're recording. What, more than thousands, I guess, or a couple of thousand now?
So at this point, it's just under 2,000. It's something around like 1,700 or 1,800. Yeah.
It's quite a good number. So let's jump to the main topic of the inspiration. Like, what happened in your life? And I'm wondering, when did you actually decide you're writing a book that moved you to write the book?
Yeah, that is a fantastic question. I was thinking about it, and what I came to realize is that in my case, it was less of an inspiration and much more of an evolution, or just a result of me doing something for a long period of time. For the context, several years ago, I started a blog about the business side of cybersecurity, and it never meant to be a blog. Instead, what happened, I had an idea, like I had certain ideas and opinions about the business side of the industry, about the go-to-market strategy, and having worked across other industries, I decided to just write an article, share it, and see if somebody finds it useful. And so I did. And I had a number of people reaching out saying, hey, that article you published on Medium, like that's actually super useful. Like I'm currently working in this area and I found it incredibly valuable for what I'm trying to do. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. So that feedback loop and that quick feedback from people made me say, okay, you know what? I have some other thoughts and opinions. I can share that too. And so I did. And I had more people reaching out. And at a certain point, I moved away from Medium. I moved over to Substack, and the blog, which initially was just me like sharing different learnings that I've accumulated over the years, it became a regular weekly newsletter. And at the beginning, I was talking a lot about the go-to-market, about product-led growth, about just cyber, like some of the other aspects of the security startups. And as time went on, it became much broader. So I started to look at the funding side, at what are the different types of investors in investing in cybersecurity companies? How do they differ? What makes their incentives different? What are the different types of channel partners? What are the trends shaping the future of the channel partners ecosystem? So a lot of the topics that at the time, I couldn't find answers to unless I myself would go super deep, attend conferences, go talk to people in the industry, and just try to reflect and dissect those learnings myself. What I came to realize when I ended up in cybersecurity is that there was a lot of technical, like great technical content, but there was much less about the business side of the industry. Like there are many brilliant security practitioners who are discussing and writing blogs and giving talks about how to write detections, how to optimize the security stack, how to do all sorts of amazing things. But there was very little of is the insights like what you're doing with the Cyber Inspiration podcast. There were very few podcasts inviting security founders, for example, and there was very little about the business side of the industry, like what it actually takes to run a startup. So over time, the blog, which I called Venture in Security, it grew, and it grew to the point where as of last year, I had just over 500,000 individual reads, and right now I have just a bit under 12,000 email subscribers.
Good number.
It is a good number, but for me, like it's less so than about the number and it's more so about the context. And the context is that in cybersecurity, it's practically impossible to get security practitioners to share their emails. See, everybody uses ad blockers, like nobody wants to input their email anywhere. So the moment you can get so many people saying, you know what, I actually want to get an update from this newsletter, that means something. And so to me, I didn't wake up one day saying, you know what, I should probably write a book. Instead, for several years, I've been writing a regular blog. And after some time, I was working on one of the next articles. I don't even remember what it was. And what I came to realize is that I already have a book. Like I already have like at least like 25 to 30% of the book started. Because of all the other writing I've done over the several years, there was a lot I would have liked to change. There was a lot, like a lot of the opinions and ideas that I evolved. And I was like, you know what? So if I already have the foundations for the book, why don't I just write it? And then Richard Stinnan started talking to me and was like, hey, Ross, you have to write a book. You have to write a book. Like you probably should write a book. I know you have at least enough. I know you have enough opinions.
You're going to blame Richard, you say.
Yes. So that's exactly.
I guess I have to invite Richard as well, but he wrote so many books. I guess, yeah, we have to invite Richard as well. So, yeah.
Oh, you absolutely should. Yeah. So it was basically several factors. It was the realization that after several years of writing, I have enough to say. It was the realization that after several years of writing the blog, I have some materials to get started. And you know, the hardest part is to get started. Like you never want to sit in front of a blank page and just stare at it and say, you know what, I have no idea where to start. But once you have some notes, once you have some blog posts on the topic, it becomes much, much easier.
Interesting that you mentioned Richard, because we'll definitely record Richard, but his style of writing is very interesting because he has a way to focus very like, only on one part when he's writing. We'll keep it to his episode. I'm not going to share how he's writing because it is his to share, but he has a way to block everything to make sure he's only working on this part.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, I would absolutely love to hear how he works on it. Yes.
I want to hear how you work on it as well. What is your style? You mentioned about blank page and not blank page. You have a material, so you need to sit down and write. What do you do? How do you make sure you're writing right now, you're not doing something else? Do you book time in advance? Do you have creative ways to make sure you're productive?
Yeah, frankly, I think the answer to this question in my case is the same as if you were to ask me, how do you make sure that you have time for the exercise? The answer is really the same. I live by my calendar. And so if I have a time block on the calendar saying from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., I am focused on the book, that means that's what I'm doing. And so for me, the step number one is always to allocate time, like to block the time off. And the reason it's important is because what I have come to realize is that there's a lot we need to do in the day-to-day. Like some of it has to do with work, some of it has to do with our personal commitments and outside of work activities. And realistically speaking, there's always more we would like to do than the time we have to allocate. And if all I have is just a very long to-do list, it becomes very hard for me to visualize which of those things can actually be realistically done versus which of those things have to be deprioritized. Once a specific task has its place on the calendar and I roughly know how much time I'm willing to allocate or how much time it's going to take, it becomes much clearer for me how much time do I actually have left in the day. And so for me, the step number one is to always allocate time. Like when I was working on the book, the way I approached it was by saying that I'm going to allocate at least 8 hours every single weekend, which means it could be like 4 hours on Saturday, 4 hours on Sunday, or it could be just 8 hours straight with a lunch break in the middle of, you know, Saturday, for example. What I am also a big believer in is that when it comes to deep work, when it comes to things like writing a book or, you know, working on some other large projects, the number one piece that matters is your ability to force yourself to do it. Like, I know some people talk about inspiration, some people talk about writer's block, some people talk about, oh my God, I don't know what to say. But what I found is that if you can glue your butt to the chair for 6, 8, 10 hours and just say, within this time, I'm going to write on this specific topic. It may be hard for the first hour, but eventually, the more you think about that specific problem, the more you sort of force yourself to do it, the easier it becomes. Meaning, like after 1.5 hours of writing, even if what you wrote is ultimately garbage, what starts to come out after is actually much better and much higher quality thought process.
I want to let you finish, but I also have a question. Sure. Because this is what's happening in my mind all the time. Like, we write stuff, we're making assumptions.
Yeah.
But how do we validate the information? Do we check with someone? Hey, this what I just wrote, this makes sense, or it's complete garbage, you know?
So it depends. I think there are several ways to answer this. On one hand, I think it's important for me to call out that the Cyber for Builders is not an academic, it's not a research book. Meaning I made no attempt to make sure that every single statement is factually correct and has been tested and validated. And here's why I'm saying it, because when it comes to building startups, as an example, I don't believe that there is a right way of doing it. Even in cybersecurity, like if you're a security practitioner, there's some foundational items where everybody can mostly agree on. You should have an MFA enabled. You should not reuse passwords. You should make sure to patch your systems, and so on and so forth. But the moment you go deeper and the moment you start thinking about building a holistic security program, the way different people will see it, the way different people will prioritize different areas is going to be somewhat different. And it doesn't necessarily make one of those approaches better than the other. I think it's like fundamentally, there are different ways of doing a thing. And nowhere it is as true as when it comes to building startups. Like, I briefly listened to some of the episodes of the founder interviews you had done. And what's fascinating is that even though the questions that you sometimes ask may be similar, the stories are dramatically different. And sometimes they're even the opposite. And to me, that's the key to the angle that I ended up taking in this book. So the book is titled Cyber for Builders, the guide for building a cybersecurity startup. So we are talking about building startups. And some of the observations I've made over the years are going to be applicable to like 65% of all the companies, but for another 35, they will be absolutely irrelevant. With others, it's going to be entirely the opposite story. So I think when it comes to building startups, like getting something to the market, like building products, it's as much of an art as it is a science. And so it's very hard to be precise. It's very hard to validate that something works for everybody when you know that you have enough observations. So that
is this mean that you, by definition, not checking your theory with other people? Or you have a couple of folks in the industries that you kind of trust and you can talk with them? Or like, just trying to understand, because we all have assumptions, we all have stuff we do, and we have a group of our friends that we can share ideas and have a good like feedback. You know, it doesn't mean, no, this is not good, oh, this is amazing. But you basically like, maybe you should go this direction, that direction.
Yes.
You know what I'm going to do?
Yes. Yeah. So here is what I did. Number one piece, I recognize that nearly 300 pages of a book is too much to ask a single person to read. So when I started writing a book, the number one step was to come up with an outline. What are the specific areas that I want to cover? Once I had an outline, I started essentially chipping away at each and every one of those chapters to make sure that every chapter is going to be more or less the same in length. One chapter is not going to be 25 pages and another one two. So I made sure that's going to be the case. And also I wanted to make sure that I cover the main points for each and every one of those chapters. But what I also did, I then decided to reach out to security practitioners and founders and people from the industry who could potentially have an opinion about those specific aspects. So, for example, if you're talking about fundraising and raising money from corporate venture capital funds, I would reach out to one or two founders or one or two investors saying, hey, here is this short chapter. Would you be willing to, one, read it, but two, provide like a 100 to 150 word contribution to complement what's written in that chapter. And I reached out to a large number of people about every single part of the book. And in part, what I was looking to do, I wanted to make sure that the book is not going to be just based on my observations and my experiences, but it will also incorporate experiences and observations from many other people in the industry. But the second piece, which it was unsaid, but it mattered quite a bit, was to get people to read a short chapter. And I want to say almost every single person who have contributed to the book had a comment about something. Like they had a different perspective, they had a different spin. They could have said, oh, you know what, here it's actually the other way around. And so they left all of those comments, which gave me an opportunity to go and iterate and pivot. I did also, at the end, I did reach out to several people, like asking to read the whole book. The part that was fairly important for me was that I needed somebody to give the whole book a read. And that somebody had to understand cybersecurity, which is, again, you don't necessarily have to be a security practitioner, but you have to understand more or less how the industry works, because it's fairly easy for you to find a copy editor to look at grammar mistakes and punctuation and so on and so forth. But it's much harder for you to find somebody who can actually understand what you're saying and point out the areas that may be factually either incorrect or worded in a different way than what they should be.
Bring a good point. How did you decide? I know you did self-publishing, but how you decided to go self-publishing and not go to the traditional route?
Yes, so I haven't spent all that much time thinking about it. And there are logical reasons why I would have done it anyway. And then there is the main reason why I did it. The main reason why I did it was because I didn't start writing a book, you know, from the ground zero. Instead, I had 2 years of blogging that I wanted to not necessarily incorporate, but I wanted to build upon. So I said, you know what? I think about 25 to 35% of the book can be jump-started by relying on some of the past blog articles that I've already written. So I'm going to reword them. I'm going to take different bits and pieces, move them around, because I had like nearly like 150 blog articles, and each blog article is like 15 minutes to half an hour long read. So it's a lot of work. If I were to bring all of my past blog posts together, it would have been at least, I don't know, 5 books. So I had to be smart. Like, it's just, it's a lot. And so I
have
to
a way to do another book. It's okay.
I'm not planning anytime soon, but that could be an option. So what was important for me is that I can refer to some of my past work without having to rewrite every single word. And so when you work with a publisher, you have to sign away the IP. Essentially, you have to give them the copyright. And that means you cannot be leveraging even the work that you did before if it has been previously published. So you could have your own blog, for example. Let's just say every day you write a long form LinkedIn post and you share it with others. If you choose to write a book and to reuse some of the stuff that you've written on LinkedIn, you cannot do it with a publisher unless you rewrite every single one of those statements so that they're not exactly copied or repurposed, because they have to own the copyright. I didn't want to deal with it. I want the flexibility of being able to say, look, this is the work I've done. This is my thought process. This is my work. This is my intellectual property. I want to use it however it makes sense. So that was the piece number one, which made it not impossible, but which would have made it much harder for me to work with a publisher. The other piece that I came to understand was that the target audience for this book is aspiring cybersecurity startup founders, security practitioners and security engineers, security architects, like people who are tinkering on the side, like maybe people contributing to open source projects, maybe like maintainers of the open source projects, plus the employees of cybersecurity startups, like leaders of security startups, heads of sales, heads of marketing, heads of partnerships, heads of technology, people who work for channel partners, people who work for MSSPs, MSPs, integrators, and so on and so forth. And where do I reach those people? Do they go to bookstores, to the section for cybersecurity books to figure out what they're going to read? No, they don't. No, they don't. So they go online, they ask their peers for references, they spend their time on LinkedIn, they spend their time like reading Substacks, listening to different podcasts. So if I want to get in front of those people, having a book somewhere in a physical bookstore is not going to help me. So that was the point number one. The point number two was that if I want to reach those people, regardless if the publisher, like if I work with the publisher or if I self-publish the book, it's going to be on me to do all the marketing. And if, like now let's bring it all together. If I had to rewrite every single paragraph that I've ever written and sign away the copyright to an external publisher, and me having the book in physical locations is not going to help me find the readers, and I will have to do all the marketing and sales work anyway, why don't I just self-publish it? In which case, for once, I have a full control over the book. If tomorrow I decide to make the change, to rewrite one paragraph, I make the change, I upload the new manuscript to Kindle, to Amazon Publishing, and then 2 days later, a new version of the book is live, and anybody who is ordering it is going to get the new copy. That's the part number one. Part number two, I actually get quite a bit of money from every single copy sold, much more than I would get from a publisher. Again, is that a factor? Not really, because let's be transparent. Like, you don't write a book to make money. That is not a way to do it. That said, if you can get more rather than less, that's a good thing. Plus, if tomorrow, for example, I decide, you know what? I actually want to give away an ebook version of the book. Just, I'm not trying to make money on this. That was never the goal. I want to just give it away for free. I can do it. If I want to give a PDF for free, I own the thing. So it's up to me what I want to do. And that for me was so important.
Was there a time during the writing of the book when you like, I'm done. That's it. Like, I hate this. I don't know why I'm doing this. Get me out of here.
There wasn't such time. But there was a time when I legitimately doubted if what I am doing is going to be interesting for 25 people. So the question was like, really, hey, there is no precedent of somebody writing a book that is targeting, that is talking about cybersecurity startups. There are plenty of books out there, plenty of books that are discussing how to secure your organization. And the vast majority of cybersecurity related books are all about risk, are all about compliance, are all about specific security control. They are geared towards security practitioners and people who are trying to do their work better. I have not come across a book that is targeting specifically cybersecurity startup founders and people interested in the business side. And I doubted that there is enough number of those people for this to even make sense. And I'll tell you why. Over the years, I have met a large number of security practitioners. And what continues to surprise me is how few of them are actually interested in the business side of the industry. I feel like from what I have seen, the business side, like the startup side of the space, typically gets this bad rap among security practitioners, where it's all, yeah, it's all about money, it's all rigged, it's all broken, VCs are just throwing the cash, you know, on fire, cybersecurity founders are just, you know, trying to make a quick buck and sell the company. So there is like, there is so much negative sentiment around startups that for me, and again, at the same time, everybody recognizes that we need security tools. And yet there is almost a stigma about being a founder. CISOs keep saying, oh my God, I'm so tired of security founders reaching out to me, like the startups are spamming and blah, blah, blah. So there is so much of that negativity that I am, again, some of it has reasons to exist. It's not that it's entirely unjustified, but I was genuinely doubting that anybody is going to care about this. Like, that was my biggest fear. The other thing that I was somewhat, not necessarily afraid of, but something that I was really mindful about, is that I'm a fairly opinionated person. And I find that the moment you state your opinion about something, the chances are not low that you will get a large number of people disagreeing with that opinion. And the question is, how will that disagreement look like? See, once you publish a book, it's there, it's in paper. Sure, you can change the subsequent editions, but if you made a mistake, if you phrase something in a way that is going to piss somebody off, you're not going to be able to easily go and change it. See, I write a fairly active blog. There have been a number of cases, and I'm willing to admit it, where I would make mistakes. Like, I would make mistakes, I would misspell stuff, I would phrase something in a way that would offend people inadvertently. Like, that obviously was never the goal, but at the end of the day, we are all humans, right? We can say something without meaning it. We can say something in a way that makes us feel like this makes sense, but somebody else reading it is like, oh my God, like he didn't just say it. So all of that stuff was made me incredibly self-conscious of, hey, this thing is going to be there. There's going to be a physical copy. There's going to be a physical record of something that I can do. Fortunately, nothing bad happened. I'm incredibly grateful to all the people who have proofread the book. But that is the downside of self-publishing, right? When you work with a publisher, you don't really have to worry about any of this because there are professionals. There is an army of people that are going to go over it. They know what works. They know what doesn't. They'll proofread it. They will make sure that every single word is where it belongs. As you can hear from my accent, English is my third language. And so for me, there is always that part where, hey, could there be something about my commands of English language that is not going to resonate with people? But then there is always a part of, hey, this is something I've written. If I can convince a few friends to give it a read, they will. But will they provide a genuine feedback or will they just try to encourage me and be like, hey, this is great. Yeah, good luck. So that was hard. And it wasn't until I started getting real feedback from readers that I was like, okay, this seems to went well. This seems to be going okay.
I have a last question for today. If you go back when you decided to actually start writing the book, would you do anything differently?
The answer is probably no, but with an asterisk. So I still believe that being active and like writing a blog or like being active and talking about the topics that you're going to write a book about in advance is the best way for you to build the audience, make sure that you've got a pool of people who are going to get that copy to begin with. So I 100% recommend it to anybody interested in writing a book. I still believe that having a good structure up front is the right way of doing it because it gives you...
So you will not change anything you did.
Here is what I would change. One, so I mentioned I reached out to a number of people asking for their contribution or their feedback. I would probably give people much more time than what I did. I think I didn't recognize at the time how big of a lift it is for somebody to read 10 pages on their free time and then provide their feedback and come up with a contribution. So that was a major piece. So I would probably give people like much more time. What I would also do, I think I would start writing much sooner than when I did. And we are often so self-conscious. We are often thinking, hey, is there really anything I have to share? Is there even anything I can do? And that really is the factor that prevents people from just starting on whatever it is they're planning or they're thinking of writing. I genuinely believe that in 2024, there are more people who could be publishing their books. And I'm not talking about ChatGPT and all of that stuff. Like, I am not a believer in using that to publish a book. But I just genuinely think that there are so many great ideas. There are people with so many great ideas that are walking around. And the reason they're not starting to write is because, like myself before, they're thinking, really, who's going to read it? Like, I published a book in January this year. I think it could have very well been January 2023. If I just get myself together and said, you know what, somebody will actually find it useful.
Good advice. I just want to say thank you very much. A lot of smart things. I hope a couple of things happen from here. One, people will buy more of your book and read about it. Even if they're not going to try to create their own company, I think it's important to understand the process of creating a company, because they will may admire more about the work people did. Two, I hope people are going to be inspired by what you just shared to write their own book. I know I'm writing my own. We spoke about it before the recording, because it is hard. It is a step. And you provide just, not just your own journey. You also provide some advice of what people can do. Is they can share and decide how they want to take it. But I think what you provided, you also explain why you did it. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a great pleasure. I do hope there will be more interesting books. I definitely look forward to reading yours. To all the people who are thinking of writing something, the only piece of advice I have is don't write a book, write an article. Write a short article, keep it in your Google Doc. And if it went well, write a second one and write a third one. And that's how you get the book. You don't stare at the blank screen thinking, oh my God, I need to write 300 pages. Just small bits. That's how the progress happened. And yeah, I genuinely appreciate the time. If folks are interested in getting a copy, the book is called Cyber for Builders. It is available on Amazon in both paperback.
When we share as well, so people will know.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you.